Has anyone here ever had their mind run away with them? Your imagination takes something that is small and just take it somewhere that leads to nowhere good. Am I alone on that? Nope, not just me. I'm so glad. Well, I had an experience like that recently. Just last Friday, I went on a field trip with Chloe's sixth grade class to Kings Island. And I love roller coasters. They don't scare me typically. The higher, the faster, the better for me. So Chloe and I, we hung out with six of her friends for the day, and we rode the Banshee and the Diamondback and all these great rides, and we had a ball. And we decided, after her friends left, they left around 7, and we stayed after, and we decided, after dark, we wanted to go ride the Windseeker. That's a ride I had never ridden before. And it was high, and I thought, yeah, that is really high. But it wasn't a roller coaster, it's just a ride. And so we hop on this ride after dark, and the ride just starts going up, and getting higher, and getting higher. And pretty soon I'm looking down at the tops of the roller coasters. And I'm pretty sure the only thing higher in that park was the Eiffel Tower. I'm pretty sure of it. And so, as I'm sitting there and getting off the ground, and I had to take off, I had flip-flops on. So, I had to take those off. And this is one of those rides where your feet are dangling like this. And so, as we got to the top, I started feeling really vulnerable. I started feeling like I'm just sitting in a rocking chair up here in the sky. And then the ride, the swings, they come out like this. And I think we have a picture. Yes, here we go. The swings, they go out like this. And you begin to spin so you can enjoy the view of Kings Island. All lit up, these beautiful rides. And you feel the wind. It's called the Windseeker. So it's fast enough that you can pick up the wind. But not as fast as a roller coaster. And all of a sudden, my mind just starts running away with me. And I start saying to myself, I'm on the ground. I'm on the ground. And I closed my eyes. I couldn't enjoy that beautiful view. And Chloe goes, Mommy, are you scared? And I couldn't deny it at that point because here I am closing my eyes. And she hears me saying, I'm on the ground. I'm on the ground. And she says to me, Mommy, it's okay. God will take care of us. My 12-year-old, she's ministering to me up here in the clouds. And so my mind just went away. And then it got even worse because when the swings went out like this, it separates you from the next swing. And all of a sudden, it looked to me like there was a missing swing. And I thought, what happened to that swing? And I just pictured the arm of it must have just broken off and flung them into the trees. And so in my mind, that's probably what happened. It was reality for me at that moment. And so I was so happy when that ride began to descend. And it was probably, I don't know, maybe a minute and a half that we were at full throttle. But to me, it felt like an hour. And so the closer we got to the ground, the more comfortable I got. My breathing kind of chilled out a little bit. My heart started to feel a little better. And then when we landed, whew, back to safety. I really am on the ground now. Fear is something we all face at one time or another, and it can come unexpectedly from something you really didn't think would scare you that much, and it can come out of nowhere, and it can come to everyone, even the people who are out there, the adrenaline junkies that are out there, and they are, you know, climbing Mount Everest and jumping off cliffs, cliff diving, all of this stuff. Fear comes to everyone. And so I did a little bit of research on this and thought, I wonder what are some of the most common fears people have. So in good fun, we're going to take a look at what I found in my research, some of the most common fears. These are going to be the external fears, like fear of heights. If you are afraid of heights, then your stomach might drop just from looking at a picture of the heights, not even really being there. So that's one of the most common fears. Another common fear is of enclosed spaces, otherwise known as claustrophobia. people who have claustrophobia in small spaces, they feel like they're closing in and that they can't breathe and that they can't get out. There's no way to escape. Another one would be of the dark. Some people have a fear of the darkness, the things that are lurking in the darkness, things that they can't see. You can see this dude like heading into the bushes. I don't know what he's up to. Looks a little spooky to me. And let's see, we have other fears. Some people have a fear of public speaking. Huh? Anybody here? Fear of public speaking. When Jamie asked me to do this, it was just on Tuesday. And my first thoughts were, yeah, I'm going to need you to call Andy. See if Andy can do it. And then I started thinking, you know, it's not the best week for me. That's the last week of school. And I have all these things on my agenda I need to get done. We're trying to paint. And simultaneously, God's giving me the message that I'm supposed to tell you all today. And so that was the conflict going on there. So for public speaking, that's a common fear. Another one is snakes. I'm pretty sure this one dates back to the Garden of Eden. Lots of people deal with fear of snakes. Even if we don't, how often do we really encounter a snake? But yet, we don't like them. A lot of us. And then this one kind of tickles me a little bit. Needles. Have you ever noticed so much of the time the people with a fear of needles are the biggest, burliest, strongest men? I have heard a story of a big, strong man I know. It wasn't Jamie. And he passed out cold in the waiting room of a doctor's office because they told him they were going to draw blood. He didn't even see the needle. They told him, and then as he waited, I think his imagination went off with him, and he passed out cold in the waiting room, just hearing about a needle. So those are some of the external fears, but some of the fears that we face are a little more internal. The fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of commitment, fear of death. We could list all kinds of other fears. You know, another one of mine, I have this strange fear of driving off a bridge. Like I don't think about this all the time, but when I'm crossing a bridge, sometimes that'll pop up into my head and I'll just think, what if I couldn't get out of my car? What if I just plunged into the water? I couldn't get out. I don't know why, that fear. And then another weird one, birds. I don't know who fears birds, but apparently I do because I don't like things that can fly at my head. I don't know what it is with that, but maybe I saw the birds when I was too young. I don't know that movie. What is that, 70s, 80s, something like that. So, and Jamie, he has an uncanny fear of sharks. And apparently, if you have followed him on Facebook this week, also of vegetables. That's, I don't know. I don't quite get that one. So what is it? You tell it to me. What is the thing that people tell us is the best way to overcome our fears? Face them. That's right. People say you got to face your fears. But there's an important component that I think that they often leave out, and we're going to look at that today. And we're going to read from Matthew chapter 14. Before we do, let's pause and just pray for a minute. Father, thank you so much for meeting with us today. I pray, God, that you would empty me of me and fill me up with you. Give me your words, your message, Jesus. Free our hearts of distraction and just speak to us today, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, let's start verse 22, Matthew 14:22. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. The immediately after this he's talking about here is this is right after the feeding of the 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. So they're going straight from witnessing that to this command to get in the boat. And then notice here, Jesus insisted that they get in the boat. So, verse 23, after sending them home, he went up in the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. If you ever noticed, nighttime a lot of times is when our fears and our anxieties threaten to get the best of us. For some reason, when the sun goes down, that seems to be when it hits a lot of people. That's when we start to really It's that hostile takeover of our mind is the battle there. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble, far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, indicating they had been there for a while in the storm by themselves, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified in their fear. They cried out, "It's a ghost!" I think about this and I think, how much in a panicked state of mind must these 12 grown men have been that their first instinct was, "It's a ghost!" I think about some of the men in our church, 12 of them in a boat, and I can't imagine all of them screaming, "It must be a ghost." But I think here, that shows us the mindset they were in. They were so overtaken by their fear, because this wasn't just a little rain. This wasn't just a little storm. This was something threatening them to take over their life. Their lives were in danger here. And they probably weren't really looking for Jesus out in the middle of the sea in the night in a storm. They probably didn't think he could get to them where they were. But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I'm here." He comforted them with his very presence. And then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." And Peter did a really smart thing here, because just a moment ago, he was so in fear that he thought Jesus was a ghost. So he used wisdom here, and he made sure, "This is God. Make sure this is my Lord Jesus before I respond here." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. And Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" I think I've been hearing this story. I grew up in church. Many of you may have, and some of you may have not. But it seems like there's some verses in the Bible we read in our most condemning tone. We hear that as, "Oh, ye of little faith," as if Jesus were condemning Peter here. But the Bible tells us that God came to save the world and not to condemn it. And Peter was his boy, his child. So I hear it more in a teaching tone. I think God was trying to teach Peter something here. So I hear a concerned tone, teaching him, pinpointing the problem to Peter. "Peter, it's your faith. Why'd you doubt me?" And I've noticed this with my kids, maybe watching them learn to ride their bike. And you're holding on to the back, and then you let go, and they're doing fine. But then they realize that you let go, and what happens? Wipe out. And you go, "Oh, you had it. Why didn't you keep going? You had it." So that's how I hear that verse. When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. And I'm sure they had prayed for it to stop before that point, but it wasn't until after that the wind stopped. And then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. And if we remember back, this is not the first time the disciples have seen Jesus in action. They had already seen him do miracles. They'd seen him heal the sick. They had watched him turn water into wine. They had already seen all of these miraculous things. And still, at this instant, they say, "You really are the Son of God." There are some things that we have to experience for ourselves. There are some things where it had to go from watching him do something in someone else's life to giving him the opportunity to do something in their own life. They couldn't get all of their training, all of their lessons vicariously, but watching him do it for someone else, they had to face their own fears. They had to face their own inadequacy, and they had to depend on Jesus for their own life and their own well-being. And it's the same for all of us. There are 366 verses in the Bible that tell us not to fear. It is a common command in the Bible, and I think there are probably a lot of reasons for that. I think God knew we were going to face a lot of things in our life that would threaten our security and cause us fear. But I think another really big reason is that fear is the number one reason we're tempted to not do what God wants us to do. Faith says go, but fear says no. Hear that with me one more time. Faith says go, but fear says no. When we hear this story, we often focus on Peter, and he gets depicted as a failure because he started to sink. He started to sink when he took his focus off of Jesus and noticed the wind and the storm all around him. He began to sink. We got to remember, there were 11 other disciples there, and where were they? They were still in the boat. Peter was the only one who even got out of the boat. And what we find out there is that with just a little faith, Peter got to do something the other 11 didn't get to experience. He got to experience walking on water, something no other man other than Jesus had ever done. That was just with a little faith. So it's not that we are not going to experience fear or anxiety or worry. The question is, are we going to let it short circuit our ability to follow God's plan for our life? So what do we do? How do we keep from letting it short circuit God's plan for our life, our ability to walk it out, what he calls us to do? And I think that part of that is knowing some key things about growth. There is always a call. God doesn't call everyone to be a missionary in Africa. God doesn't call everyone into full-time ministry. God doesn't call everyone to preach on Sundays. But God does call all of us to walk a life of obedience. And it's a daily walk. He calls all of us every day to trust him. That's a call we all share, that we all have. With that call, there's always fear. Fear and growth go together. Because where there's opportunity for growth, there's also a big opportunity for fear, because it's going to take us outside of where we're comfortable, take us out of our boat that may feel comfortable compared to all that's going on out here. But with that fear, God always gives us reassurance. There's always reassurance of his presence, reassurance of his help, and reassurance of his strength. We find that if you were to Google and go back through those 366 verses, you would find them followed up with reassurance. Take courage. I'm here. And the way for faith to win is to realize that when we face our fears, to overcome them, we don't face them alone. That's the key that's left out of that cliche quote about facing our fears. If you can find loads of them. If you looked on Brainy Quote, you'd see all kinds of them about facing your fears, conquering your fears. But what gets left out of those is that we don't face them alone. With the fear, the call, the fear, the reassurance, there's always a decision. We always have a decision to make, a yes or a no. When faith says go and fear says no, we have a decision. God doesn't force us to follow him. We all have a choice, and he offers that choice because he loves us. And lastly, there's always a changed life. If we say yes, there is a changed life, not because we have followed him perfectly, but because we've learned how to grow even despite our challenges. We've learned how to grow even through the difficult times. And each time we say yes, our God gets a little bigger. The changed life, if we say no, is a little more difficult because our hearts get a little bit harder. We become a little more resistant. It becomes a little harder to say yes the next time, and maybe even a little harder to even see the opportunities next time. And our God gets a little bit smaller. We are all somewhere in this story. If you haven't yet discovered Jesus as your Savior, then your next step is accepting his invitation to you. It's that invitation to get in the boat to begin with. Maybe you have received Christ and you're in the boat, but you're unsure what to do next. Maybe it just looks too scary to get out of the boat. Maybe the circumstances look too overwhelming to get out of the boat. Maybe that's you today. Or maybe you're like Peter and you have taken a leap of faith. You have climbed out of the boat and you have walked on the water with Jesus. But then the waves picked up and the wind got more fierce and it got harder. It got more scary. And you feel like it might drown you. Have you ever taken a step and then got out there in the middle and you suddenly you felt vulnerable? And out here, this is where you say, what have I done? Why did I do this? It was much more comfortable back here in my boat. And then the waves, these aren't waves that are just sloshing at your ankles. The waves get bigger. And the waves, they're coming up. And the waves, now they're up to your waist. And soon they're up to your chest. And soon they might even be over your head. And Jesus is there. He's in front of you. But you can't see him because you're trying to wipe the salt water out of your eyes just so you can see him. That might be where you are today. So what do you do there? It's a lot easier to talk about keeping your eyes on Jesus and not on the storm when you're in the calm than when you're in the storm, isn't it? It is much harder. What's it look like? How do I keep my eyes on Jesus when I can't even see because there's sand in my face and there's water and it's every wave feels like it's the one that's going to take me down. How do I keep my eyes on Jesus now? We do what the disciples did. We do what Peter did when he cried out, Jesus, Lord, save me. And sometimes you might have to just say that's all you can say over and over. Maybe it's just saying his name. Jesus, Jesus, I know you're there, but I can't see you. And maybe it's going to those right now. Maybe that's going back to those verses in the Bible. Maybe it's immersing your mind with those. Maybe it's posting. Maybe you need to plaster them around you. Maybe you need to post them around your house and in your car and on your desk at work and in your purse and in your briefcase. Maybe you need them everywhere because that's the season that you're in today. Maybe you need to draw people in around you that'll encourage you because we're not meant to do it alone. The whole reason Jesus came was relationship, loving God, loving others. He didn't mean for us to walk it alone. He meant for us to walk it with each other. So maybe it's getting in a group, getting some people around you. Maybe it's just sharing it with one person so you don't walk through that fear alone. Maybe you're just comfortable. You found this one person you can trust. Maybe it's just saying, I'm dealing with this. Will you pray for me? I found, you know, last time I spoke with you all back in November, I was speaking on a message that was something God had already brought me through. The message he gave me today is something I'm walking through right now. It's a lot easier to share with somebody something you've already overcome. I'm not telling you about something I've already overcome. I'm telling you, I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. Just a few weeks ago, I was praying at my bed, and fear was just trying to torment me. And I know some of you know what I mean. Even when I was praying, just the thoughts. My mind was darting this way. Well, what if that? And my mind was darting this way. What if this happens? What if that happens? And what about this? And then I would remember, oh yeah, Jesus, I was praying. But then I'd find myself, suddenly I'm not praying anymore. I'm talking to myself. I'm telling myself all these lies that aren't coming from him. And all at once, it was like I heard him say to me, daughter, look at me. And I knew that voice. And I knew the intent of his words because I've done it with my kids. When I need to tell one of my kids something, and I need to make sure they really hear me, that I'm not just shouting it into the wind, or that it's from one end of the house to the other, because then it's going to go in one ear and out the other. You mamas know exactly what I'm talking about. So when that happens, when I need them to really get what I'm saying to them, I get down on their level and I say, look at my face. And sometimes I even put my hands on their face. Look at my face. Look at me. I love you. Look at me. You can do this. Look at me. Go clean your room. Sometimes there's a command in there. That's my middle one. Yes, we have to do that pretty often. But in his grace and his love and his mercy, God could see what I was doing. He could see I was trying. I was trying to talk to him. I was making some efforts. But he could see he wasn't getting through because I was clouded. I was clouded by all these other circumstances out here. And he knew that what I really needed in that moment wasn't solutions. I didn't need him to give me solutions to every problem and every wave that was threatening to take me down. He wasn't trying to give me solutions. He knew my real need was him. My real need was his presence. My real need was the reassurance that he was still there, that he was still in control. That sometimes what we need to do is give him that opportunity to get down on your level and say, daughter, look at me. You're okay. Son, look at me. You can do this. That's the kind of hope that only comes from Jesus. My husband, he can't give me that. My kids, my job, my bank account, none of that. That's the kind of hope that only comes from Jesus Christ. It's the kind of hope that believes in the face of all these circumstances that Jesus Christ ultimately will redeem all things. And that in the end, that's the hope that stands. And that anything I face here pales in comparison to what he has waiting in eternity for each of us. The whole reason he even stepped foot on this earth as the man of Jesus Christ. Hope is that thing that gets us out of the boat. Trust. That's what holds us up once we get out on the water. Fear threatens to take us down. But always, Jesus reaches out and offers us a hand. Always. We just got to be able to see it. And in the end of it all, how do we know if our faith has withstood the test? How do we know if our faith is still intact? It's that when we climb back in that boat after the storm has died, we still believe that Jesus Christ is with us. That's how we know. That's how we know. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the hope you offer to all of us. I want to pray right now for someone here who you're calling out to. I pray, Father, for their hearts to be open and unafraid. I pray, God, you would break down strongholds of fear for everyone here. I pray, Father, for the one who you're calling out to today, if you want to receive him as your Savior, he's making that invitation to you. If you're ready to receive him, then just pray something like this in your own words. Father, I'm tired of doing life my way. I believe you died on the cross for me and that you rose again. And I pray, Father, that you would forgive my sins and be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I want to pray also for my friends here who've already accepted you. I pray, God, that no matter what kind of storm that they're facing, you know what those are, that they would thank you for you being trustworthy. I pray, God, that you would meet them where they are. I pray they would recognize you, they would see your face. And I pray, Father, that your voice would pierce through the chaos. I pray they would hear it above the wind and the waves and the fear, Father. I pray they would hear you, Father. And I thank you for the reassurance of your presence. I pray you would rest it on them today. I pray that they would grab hold of your courage. And I pray, Father, you would comfort them and direct them with your help. Thank you, Lord, for meeting with us, for leading us. And I pray all of us would listen closely and follow you quickly. In Jesus' name, amen. Joel's going to lead us in a song, and he does. I encourage you to just continue to pray and see what God has to say to you today.